Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Amador Health Center Chief Executive Officer Pamela Angel to talk to us about how the clinic has been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's start off with how the Amador Health Center has been affected by the pandemic.
One of our main priorities since the pandemic started to affect our community back in March was to reconfigure our services to minimize the impact on our staff, on our patients, and on all of their families with contracting COVID from our place. So we moved our entrance to the back. We pre-screen people before we let them in. We really try to keep out people who are potentially sick with COVID or even the flu. So people who are having symptoms of the flu or COVID, we see outside in an area that we've walled off with, you know, basically just tarps. So we've just decided to really play it safe because we know that if we have to shut down our clinic due to an infection spreading within, that it's really going to impact people immensely if we have to close our doors.
Tell us how it's affected the medical employees as well.
We've converted a lot of our visits, about 75% of our patient visits, that's both behavioral health and medical, are now by telephone or like Zoom, different apps that our clients can see and view either on their home computers or on their phone. So we've really gone to telehealth for about 75% of our visits. We do still usually see face-to-face first-time visits with people if they haven't been here before. It's been a little bit of a transition for the staff and the patients, but it's actually working out very well. We've sent home some of our staff to work from home. We have really only about one person that works full-time at home, and the other people have different days that they work at home and do telephone visits or telehealth from afar. So it's really been quite the adjustment. I think one of the big things at the beginning was the fear that there wasn't enough PPE for our providers, masks, gloves, gowns, and we are constantly ordering PPE and have a lot of it on back order. Fortunately, we have not run out, and we have about a month's supply, but we have a lot of back orders that we're hoping we can get in. We've also shifted our services to include COVID testing for people in need. We've been doing COVID testing at the Gospel Rescue Mission, La Casa, Jardín de los Niños, the Community of Hope, the FYI Teen Shelter, as well as the Casa de Peregrinos Food Bank and the El Caldito Soup Kitchen. And we've been testing their staff as well as any clients that are interested in having testing done. We're trying to do group testing so that we don't have to use up too much PPE. So if we are going to test people in the afternoon, for instance, if we have a few people coming in, we'll tell others to join at that same time. We've even had to, you know, have people go meet us where we're doing our testing. We've had actually some staff would come over and we'd test them at La Casa or Gospel Rescue Mission outside along with the other people that we're testing there, just so we can preserve PPE. Recently, we received the 15-minute rapid test that is very effective for people who are experiencing symptoms. And if you're experiencing COVID symptoms and you have the rapid test, if it's positive, you're positive. If it's negative, it's really best to have the second test, the nasal swab, which then has to get sent out to a lab. And, you know, these first 8 months, we've done almost 250 tests at our clinic, but we've done a lot more, probably, you know, 300-400 tests outside of our clinic, either helping people get tested through the Department of Health, helping actually some of the locations that the Department of Health is going to. It's just seemed much more efficient to send people through the Department of Health and get registered with them and then to come in and get tested here. That way they can look up and research their own results immediately. If they get tested here, we use our private lab, and then they have to go through us to find out their results.
And nationwide, there's been an increase in COVID patients and also ICU in hospitals. Have you seen an increase there at the Amador Health Center?
Yes, we do. For the people that we test through our private lab, the first couple months, like July, August, September, all of our results were coming back negative. And then now we're starting to see many more positives within those tests. I get a report every month that shows how many tests we did. And the last one I looked at, that was about in early November, and about 20% of the tests that we did were positive. And, you know, July and August, just about 100% were negative. So we are seeing a change as the virus advances in our county. It's really gotten way out of hand in our community, and throughout the nation. And I think the holidays really are a scary time for people working, essential workers who have to see people when there's so much infection in our community, as well as, you know, the medical staff. And so many people, it's so difficult not to gather, like with even a few family members for the holidays. But it's so worth it if we want to be here for the next holiday and next year. For instance, I usually do something with my brother who lives here, and we decided this year we usually decorate the Christmas tree every year for decades together. And this year we decided, nope, he'll decorate it himself, take pictures. We don't want to break the protocols that we know are there to help keep us as safe as possible with this raging pandemic. It's so tragic. Some of the big super spreader events are now small families. And I look at the newspaper, I get the newspaper and I look at it every Sunday. They show a list for the last couple weeks of positives, and there are entire families listed in the obituaries. You know, you can tell by the, you know, the ages, and that it's, you know, parents and their children, their adult children, and then even extended family members who are not just getting sick, but they're actually dying. You know, we really promote people to follow the public health orders, be very careful, and be very careful when gathering with friends and family. I haven't been around anybody in my circle of friends and family and work without a mask since March. And I social distance. I haven't had anybody in my house. I do live alone, so it's easier. But this is very serious, and we need to do whatever we can to protect not only ourselves and our families, but the people that we come into contact with.
And what about the homeless community? How has this affected the homeless?
Well, fortunately, in our Community of Hope area, we haven't had a lot of positive spread. We do offer testing to all of the agencies here, and some of the agencies had to close for a period of time. But we do offer testing for all of their staff and their clients. And really, in some other areas up in the Albuquerque and Santa Fe area, COVID has really been racing through their communities, the homeless community. It's been horrible. But here, it's really pretty well contained. At the tent city, they have really strict protocols about who can come in and come out. The Gospel Rescue Mission, we go and test just about every week there. And they actually shut their doors. They let people in. They must quarantine for 2 weeks before they can come into the mission. And then they cannot leave and come back in. So I think those kind of strict procedures have really kept it at bay here with the homeless population.
And you've been able to treat everyone, regardless of insurance coverage, criminal background, immigration status, sexual orientation, drug use, or ability to pay. Talk to us about the mission and vision and the focus of your Amador Health Center.
Sure. So yes, we definitely have our doors open for all without, judgment, with just care and concern for whatever people need. We will not turn anybody away for inability to pay. About 50% of our patients are people who are homeless or experiencing homelessness or near homelessness. But also we can see community members as well. We see migrant farm workers and anybody with insurance, without insurance. We don't care. We're happy to see you, to set up telephone visits in the future while we're under this pandemic, if that's what's needed. But we have some very wonderful professional staff, nurse practitioners, a doctor, and medical assistants, as well as behavioral health staff. We have a prescribing psychologist. So we really offer the whole gamut of primary care, behavioral health care, substance use services. And it's to anybody, even if you can pay. I think one thing that we've really pride ourselves on is to empathize with anybody that comes to our doors, no matter, we don't turn anybody away for what they might look like or smell like, or, if they're experiencing psychosis. If they need care, we're hoping that we're a place where they can feel cared for, get quality medical and behavioral health services, and feel better about themselves when they leave.
And what are your hours? When are you open? And how do the homeless come in to be able to be served? What is your address and what phone number would they call for telehealth?
Our phone number is 575-527-5482. We have a website that gives a lot of information about our clinic. It's amadorhealth.org. And we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, but we have staff on duty from 8 to 6. Sometimes we'll continue till 6. A lot of the people that we see by telehealth, it'll go after 4. We close our doors at 4. We take walk-ins and appointments, and we can, if people are experiencing symptoms, we can do COVID testing. A lot of times, though, we do have people sign up with the Department of Health as well to get tested. We've been collaborating with the Department of Health, the City of Las Cruces, Doniana County, and one thing we're doing this week is Thursday and Friday night, we're going to Hatch to test some farm workers up there. And we also, about 2 weeks ago, we did 2 different testing events at the farm worker housing programs in Las Cruces. And that was a total of about 90 tests at 2 different housing programs. So, we don't want the farm workers to fall between the cracks and not get access to services. Some of them may be undocumented and they're afraid to come out. They go to work, they go home. They're afraid to come out and get services because they could be deported if they get, picked up. So we try to go to them and make our services available regardless of their immigration status.
And some of the services that you had provided before, they've been on hold because of COVID. What services are those?
We just started doing dental hygiene, and that we've kind of held off on. We started that, and then when the case rates started to go up in Doniana County, we put that on hold for now. There are some services that we've been doing in the past that we have held off on. Those include, our foot clinic and our eye clinic and our women's group. So some of those group services that we used to provide, we're not doing right now. But we have plenty to do with primary care, behavioral health care, substance use services. But we do see people face-to-face if they need a face-to-face visit. But a lot of times we can do it by phone. We've been able to convert most of our behavioral health counselors and our prescribing psychologists to phone visits. What we're really trying to do at the clinic is minimize the number of people, including staff, who are at the clinic at any given time. So we're sending different people work at home at different times, and that may include telehealth visits. We've gotten stricter as time goes on, even with, where people eat, how many people can share a room. We've spread out workspaces, and then we have people staggering days off. I've got one of our finance people. He's home 2 days a week. One of our behavioral health counselors, she's home 4 days a week, and then she only comes in the early evening for some of her visits. So we're really trying to minimize who's in the building, just, you know, to minimize potential of having to close down. We have had two staff members test positive, but we believe that they contracted the virus outside of the clinic. And what we did is we researched, once we knew their exposure or even their potential exposure, we researched, we looked at cameras, we talked to staff, and we had people quarantine from home and work from home during that time period before they were able to get well and come back. So we're just being really strict. You know, the last thing we want to do is close our facility and not be here for somebody that needs us.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about what's going on at Amador Health Center. And they can find out, as you said, more information on your website, amadorhealth.org. Again, CEO for Amador Health Center, Pamela Angel. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And please, everybody, follow the public health orders. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands. Protect not just yourself, but our entire community. Thank you so much, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.